Good morning. Let's turn to Mark chapter 11. I feel like I haven't been to morning prayer in ages. Mark 11. Just want you guys to know that the early morning crowd, you guys are my favorite people. So I don't know why I'm saying that, but just take it. Mark 11, let's go from verse 12. And on the next day, when they had departed from Bethany, he became hungry. And seeing at a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he answered and said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple, began to cast out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And they would not permit anyone to carry goods through the temple. And he began to teach and say to them, "Is it not written, 'My house should be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a robber's den?" And the chief priests and the scribes heard this and began seeking how to destroy him, for they were afraid of him, for all the multitude was astonished at his teaching. And whenever evening came, they would go out of the city. Amen. So this is would be Monday. This is 4 days before the Passover, and the day before was Palm Sunday. And if you are taking notes or anything, this would be written in the Gospels. It'd be part of this passage would be in Mark chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. I probably like the Luke passage a little better. And also, there's a little note in Luke as well, but he only has the cleansing of the temple in that gospel. And then John, in John 12, will also write about this, but it's kind of the later part of the day. Okay, and so just to give you an overview, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this is what's called the Synoptic Gospels. You know, and it's basically a similar view of all the events that are happening. So you'll find that those are most like pretty similar. You know, a lot of it is because the writers probably use one source, you know, to write about the events, right? I mean, there were eyewitnesses, but it would be like you watch something, you know, happen, but you take like one document to kind of run off of, right? And so that would be Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John actually doesn't use the same manuscript, you know, so that's a different view. So it's not really considered part of the synoptics, you know, just for, you know, so you understand the terms that people, pastors use and whatnot. And so they're written throughout. And in this Monday, on this Passover, he starts at the Mount of Olives, and then he'll move through the temple, and then in the evening, he ends up in Bethany. Okay, so I just want to give you a picture of what's going on during Jesus' day, especially during this time. Now, it's interesting to note that, you know, Jesus, he was always, you know, no matter where he went, he was always known for his love, he was known for his gentleness. You know, he was known for his humility, you know, and all these things. A lot of what we talked about yesterday on Sunday about the fruit of the Spirit, you can sum it all up and just say this is talking about Jesus. You know, and so the fruit of the Spirit is the Christ life. You know, when we talk about being like Christ, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Galatians. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, gentleness, humility, you know, and all these things, you know, that he is known for. But he does something very different than what he normally does. And a lot of it is because he's getting to the end, right? And so, you know, things are getting more serious in this regard. And so at this end, he first goes and he's hungry, right? So, you know, he's in Bethany. You know, it's a little bit of a journey to get back because he's going back to the temple. And he's hungry. And so he sees a fig tree, you know, and the fig tree is supposed to have fruit on it. Right, and so this is the season where there should be fruit, right? And there's no fruit. And so Jesus says, "I curse you," right? And the fig tree withers, and we'll talk about a little bit more tomorrow. You know, and which is very, very contrasting to other times in, you know, in the 3 years before this, when he was confronted these things, and some people said, "Hey, should we uproot this or should we kill this thing?" He says, "No, no, no, let's leave it alone for another season, and let's see if something good will come out of it." You know, he's always come to that place, but now he actually turns to this fig tree, which normally he would say, oh, just leave it alone. Let's give it some more time. Let's fertilize it. Let's, you know, let's see this thing work. And now he says, just die. You know, and so you see the seriousness of what he's coming into this week. You know, almost like his temperament actually changes a bit, right? And so I'm not saying that he turned mean all of a sudden, you know, but now he's getting more into the prophetic act of going to the cross. You know, where the seriousness in his tone and his speech and his actions are depicting the violence of what's about to happen towards the week. And so he has firmly set his face towards Jerusalem, towards the cross. He knows what's coming before him. And so all his mannerism, everything gets much more serious now. Which goes to the next time. Then he goes in the temple. So he's on his way to the temple. Now he's into the temple. And when he gets there, he sees money changers. He sees, you know, people selling all kinds of merchandise. And Jesus Christ goes ballistic. You know, he takes a whip in his hand. You know, there's a really famous picture. I forget, it's like Caravaggio or, you know, one of the Impressionists. And it's this great picture of Jesus, you know, and he's like, I like this picture because Jesus is really big in this picture. Because most of the pictures of Jesus, he's like this imp, you know, like this frail, you know, kind of man, woman, we don't know what sex, you know, kind of thing. But in this picture, Jesus is like, he's ripped muscles, you know, which is probably how he was because he was a carpenter. And he's got a whip in one hand and he's overturning a table in the other hand, you know, and probably someone should Google it and find the picture. It's a beautiful picture, you know, but it's this picture of Jesus just goes ballistic, you know, and he's taking a whip and he's, you know, whipping people and things all around and totally upsetting the marketplace that's going on. You know, we've taught on this before for some of you who are new to understand why he's doing this. Because he says a phrase, and he turns and says, listen, my house is a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a robber's den. You know, and so he's appealing to two different kind of sides of the situation here. One is that that these guys, what would happen is the priest during this time, this would be the Sanhedrin that are operating and you know, collecting money through this. And you came to Jerusalem once a year for the feast, and that's the feast that's going on here. You came and you had to give an offering, you know, but they set the rules in such a way that you could not give an offering with foreign currency. You had to give an offering through the Roman, you know, or the currency in the city there. And so what they would do, they set up these tables of money changers. You know, it'd be like if you came from Korea, you know, and you had it now, but you have to give in Hong Kong dollars, right? And so you don't get a fair exchange at the temple, you know. I don't know. Well, I'll just use U.S. dollars. I know the interest, the exchange rate. You know, and so let's say, you know, it's 7.8%, right? You know, this is straight exchange. But what they would do, right, they would totally rip you off, you know, and the Sanhedrin and the leaders would actually take a cut of the profits. You know, and so, I mean, the exchange rate would be just ridiculous, you know, and so, but you had to do that because you had to give an offering, which was the law, and you had to give the offering in their currency. Notice, you had to give an offering, that was a law, but there's no law about the currency. You know, but they just make it convenient for them, so, you know, so they can make money. You know, he says, that's why he says, you made it a robber's den. And then you had to bring a turtle dove or a lamb, and it had to be totally spotless. You know, it couldn't have any blemish on it whatsoever. And that was the type of offering that you were giving depicted the type of animal that you would offer, right? And so what they would do is they would bring, you know, like, so these guys are traveling, you know, I mean, weeks to come to this place. And they would bring their very best turtle dove, you know, or their very best lamb or whatever it may be that they're offering. I mean, spotless, you know, I mean, you think about these people have been preparing this offering for a while. And so they're bringing their choice, you know, animal to the Lord as an offering. And then the leaders would come and they say, well, no, we don't like that turtle dove. That's got a little spot there. You know, or this lamb, it doesn't go. In fact, why don't you go buy one over here? And they would set up other tables of guys who would be selling merchandise, selling animals. There's nothing wrong, you know, and most scholars even said that the animals they would take, they would actually just go back and sell them. You know what I mean? Just kind of just, say, so, well, you know, I'll give you $10 for that, but you can go buy one here for $200. Go ahead. And they'll take the 10 and then just sell it over again, right? I mean, that's just speculation. I don't know if that really happened, right, and stuff, but and so they would rip people off, you know, because they had to make an offering. You know, they came with their hearts to worship God, and what they got back is they got robbed. You know, so that's one side of injustice that Jesus Christ is dealing with. The other side of injustice, which goes to our church name of Solomon's Porch. And so even under the portico or the porch that all this stuff is happening, in other words, the area where this is a marketplace, this was the only area where a Gentile can hear about God. They were not allowed to go inside the temple where the teaching and these things were happening, but they could hang out in the courtyard around the temple, and it was legal for them to be able to do that. You know, they couldn't go in, but they could hear, right, what's going on. They could actually hear the teaching. It'd be kind of like an overflow room in our modern day setting. You know, and but because these leaders set up the tables in this section, right? So Jesus is furious about the financial injustice, you know. But the other thing, he's furious that the people in Jerusalem, the non-Jews, would not be able to hear the gospel that's being preached, you know, about this God. And, you know, and to him, that's an even worse travesty. So he says, my house should be called a house of prayer for all nations. The word is ethnos. So it's not necessarily talking about a nation state, you know, per se, like a country. It's talking about people groups, you know, ethnicities. You know, and so this kind of draws like an introduction or, you know, because remember, he set his face not at the cross as a precursor to the ministry of Paul, you know, who will come and be sent to the Gentiles. And so Jesus is doing a preemptive strike in this way. And so, you know, for a man who's known by love and all these things, you know, there's this different side, this passion of Jesus that gets erupted. And the central issue, and this is what I want to worship, I want to focus on today, that Monday is the day of worship. Jesus saw that worship was not happening. One, people were being prevented from worshiping God, right? Which is a travesty in itself. And the other one, that worship itself has gone a little off. You know, and Jesus, with passion, comes to this place and sets the record straight. You know, and sets the course in motion of how we should worship, you know, the Lord and the means and the ways and all these things that are happening. You know, he wanted to straighten out the situation before he died, you know, when resurrected and went to heaven. And he wanted to make sure that the message, his message of transforming power, was going to be in the right hands. Right, and so he dealt with this very central issue. You know, he didn't want the church to get distracted, you know, in so many different things and caught up in questionable activities. Can I say this? A lot of times, churches get caught up and get distracted, get involved in very questionable activities. You know, that this should be about preaching the gospel, getting people saved, discipling people. You know, and, you know, now, it's a trend, you know, that churches, you know, they should have their own businesses, you know, they should be doing all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I mean, I wonder sometimes, you know, if that really fits into the vision of what God's doing here, you know, and he just wanted to make sure that the church did not get distracted, right? That the church just did not, you know, lose the vision, right, of exactly why they're here on this earth. You know, and this is the message, right? He's basically saying to the church and every one of us, don't get sidetracked, right? Don't lose the vision. Stay on target. Stay on the mission. You know, and in order for Jesus to make sure this happened, he came and he cleansed the temple, right? He got rid of questionable tactics, you know, questionable activities and make sure they were not distracted in any way. And he said, my house, first and foremost, is a house of prayer. That's it. Right? For all the nations. You know, and prayer, not necessarily meaning just in terms of, you know, just talking to God, but prayer in the terms of is a place where we can encounter God. You know, and we need to make sure that there are in no way that we're making any distractions whatsoever, you know, for people to come and experience God. I mean, that speaks to our hypocrisy, It speaks to our living a life of faith, you know. It speaks to living an integrous life, you know, and in your workplace, you know, not stealing, lying, cheating, you know, all those sins, you know, and whatnot. Because all those things can be a distraction. You know, another way of saying it is Jesus would use this other, you know, kind of picture is don't be a stumbling block. You know, don't distract anyone from worshiping God. You know, in our life and in the life of the church, you know, and all these different things. And so Monday, if we want to set a focus today, Monday is a day of worship, you know, also a day of cleansing, you know, making sure that every single one of us, that we are not in any way a distraction from our colleagues, our friends, our family members, or whoever it may be from knowing Jesus Christ and encountering Him. Right, I mean, that's what we meant by a house of prayer. It's a place where people come to encounter the Lord. Amen? So let's close our eyes today and let that be our meditation. You know, and I want you to know, Jesus is very serious about this. It's not that he became mean, you know, but another pastor will say, zeal for my Father's house has consumed me, he said. And so today, as a meditation, as we get ready for Good Friday and Easter, let's cleanse the temple of our hearts. If there is anything in our life that's not fruitful, let's kill it. If you're in a relationship and just not fruitful, kill it. If you're doing a hobby and it's just not fruitful, kill it. If there are some circumstances or things that you're holding on to and it's just not fruitful, just cut it off so that you may live. Let's cleanse the temple of our hearts. If the Spirit is convicting you that there's in some way something you may have done or whatever that has become a distraction for people for encountering God, let's make it right this week. Whatever it may be, let's make it right. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and just respond to the Lord as Pastor Nate leads us in a song.
Jesus, my passion in life is to know you. May all other goals bow down to this journey of loving you more. Jesus, you showered your goodness. Jesus, you've showered your goodness on me, given your gift so freely. But there's one thing I'm longing for. Hear my heart's cry. Hear my heart's cry and my prayer for this life. Hear my heart's cry. Hear my heart's cry and my prayer for this life. Above all else, above all else, above all else. Give me yourself. Savior, the more I see of you. Savior, the more I see your beauty, the more that I glimpse your glory. My heart is captured by you. Jesus, you are my greatest treasure. Nothing this world can offer could ever compare to you. So hear my heart's cry. So hear my heart's cry and my prayer for this life. Hear my heart's cry and my prayer for this life. Above all, above all else, above all else, give me yourself.
Above all else,
above all else, above all else, above all else, give me yourself.
Let's pray together. In these mornings, we're not going to do so much intercession. That's not what this week is for. But I hope that you do pray on your own. Regarding matters of church and our missionaries and all these things. But this week is really about a solemn assembly. You know, it's about coming to the Lord and meditating and hearing the voice of God and just really allowing, you know, kind of like God's flashlight to just poke through our lives and say, God, if there's anything in my life that's not worthy, I want you to speak to me about it, God, and lead me in the everlasting way. It's praying David's prayer in Psalm 139. And it says, Lord, search me and try me and see if there be any hurtful thing within me, and then lead me in the everlasting way. And so we're not going to do any intercession this week, just this week. But we just want to give you time to just pray and, you know, and just sit at his feet and rest and, you know, reflect and ask God to speak to you about your life. And really, you know, the goal of our meetings, you know, especially this week, is that when we come to the cross, you know, that it's not just a routine or something that we do once a year, but that we, you know, in some ways inflict ourselves during the week. That when we do come to the cross, you know, every day, but especially on Good Friday, that it becomes a meaningful journey for us, you know. And I recognize, you know, the more years you become a Christian, right, you know, the less kind of awe, unfortunately, that happens in our life and, you know, regarding his sacrifice. And so, you know, I'm just going to pray for us, and then, you know, you're free to pray on your own. But I would suggest to you, right, that every single day there's going to be different themes that come through, you know, the journey of Christ's day on that day. And it'd be good to really reflect upon those themes in our life. You know, today, you know, the theme is on worship, you know, and cleansing, you know, and pruning and purifying. You know, that's kind of the overall theme of the Monday after the Palm Sunday. And so it'd be good to just sit and reflect, you know, upon that and just, you know, open our hearts up to the Holy Spirit and just, you know, ask the voice to just speak to us, you know, about our lives and, you know, to make it more tender. You know, our hope and our prayer is that as we get close to Good Friday and Easter, right, that there just becomes a sense of awe, you know, about the cross and Calvary. And, you know, and it's not that we're looking for an emotional appeal, but one that just stirs from our hearts that we really recognize why Jesus did what he did, you know, and that he did it for us. And so, Lord, we just come humbly, God, and we ask, Lord, that you would, Lord, really, more than anything else, God, lead us into a sense of the holy. God, as if, God, that every morning or every evening that we come together and Lord, a little more the veil is put back as we enter into that holy place, each one of us, Lord. And so as we meditate on your word, God, as today, Lord, is the day of worship. Today, God, is getting rid of any obstacle in our way, or if we have been an obstacle, to repent and make things right. Lord, that we are, or there could be some things in our life, God, that is the fig tree. In other words, it's there, it's supposed to bear fruit, or maybe it's not at all, and it's just to cut it off, God, and just let go of it, Lord. It could be hurts, pains, relationships, past, worries, whatever it may be, God, but we just want to cut those things off. Lord, and God, we say this house is a house of prayer for all nations. Our hearts are a house of prayer for all nations. And so lead us into an encounter, God. We bless you, Lord. Just watch over us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Keep praying. You're free to go whenever you need to.